Hello, Dr. Morgan here. Welcome to Health Essentials. It's really good to be with you this Saturday morning. And the interesting thing about this is I'm basically never going to run out of information. There's so much of it. The problem is sometimes I'm trying to figure out what is a topic that's extremely relevant that people need to hear. And I think I have one for you this morning. You know, life is just going to teach you lessons. I mean, if you're willing. You've got to be willing to listen and learn. And so when you're presented with a problem, you've got to figure out, okay, what am I going to do here? And a lot of times, you know, we can learn through failure. What if you've been sick for a while and you try one round of antibiotic after the other and you just can't seem to get well? Well, is it okay if we ask the question, well, why might that be? Well, one of the things that I want to take a stab at this morning is a topic of what's called biofilms. If you haven't ever heard that term before, biofilm, it's spelled B-I-O-F-I-L-M. Well, you're probably asking yourself, well, what exactly is a biofilm? Because in our minds, we have this idea that when we have an infection, we just have this singular bacteria that's just kind of floating around and it's creating chaos and causing problems. If we could only just find the right antibiotic or solution, then our health problems would be over. We really wouldn't be sick. But that's not really the way that works. Biofilms, on one level, it's almost like this slimy, gunky, gooey, snotty, what else can I say this morning? Where all the bacteria and the fungus and sometimes even viruses and other parasites, it's almost like this little bitty cave they secrete where they can glue themselves to a particular site in the body. See, actually, biofilms are super common when somebody's had a knee replacement or a hip replacement. And these biofilms, this is where bacteria decide they're just going to build a community. It's almost like you're in the middle of the desert, and one day you come back and you look, wow, there was nothing here in this desert a week ago, but now we've got an entire village of people living there. Well, in this case, it's bacteria. And so, most bacteria, they don't exist as just singular bacteria floating around doing whatever they want. Oh, no, they kind of live in a community called a biofilm. And so in order for these bacterial colonies to form a biofilm, what they got to do is they've got to glue themselves and stick themselves somewhere where they want to live. And so if that happens to be a person who has chronic sinus infections, well, guess what? You probably have all these very vigorous, resilient biofilms living in your nose or your sinuses. What about somebody that has chronic lung problems and you've got a cough that just won't go away? Or you've got something. Well, that's probably biofilms are at the root cause of it. What if you have diverticulitis or diverticulosis, or what I should say is common urinary tract infections, and the doctor is really good about giving you an antibiotic, but the problem is, what if it's not really getting to the root of the problem and fixing anything? And so, like, for example, with a urinary tract infection, I think I was telling a lady this week that the smoothest tissue in all the body is the lining of the bladder. It's like glass. It makes it really, really hard. But what happens if, let's just say, for example, a type of a gram-negative bacteria called E. coli, what if that can kind of glue itself to the inner wall of your bladder, especially right there at the urethra, and it makes a slimy film called a biofilm that it can crawl into and hide? Well, what do you do when that gunky E. coli infection or biofilm is just releasing all this toxic waste in the human body, and you go, I don't feel so good. I have a fever. I'm urinating all the time. Well, that's because you have an infection. Well, that's what a biofilm needs. It needs to attach itself to some organ in the body. You know, the whole deal about the coronavirus is this. It's going to attack and go after the weakest system in the body. When you have an infection of any kind, whether it's fungal or bacterial or viral, It doesn't set out to go to the healthiest, most virulent, or vigorous tissues in the body that are really strong and radiant. No. It likes to go to where the weak tissues are. It wants to beat up the weak tissues. Now, one thing that I read about biofilms this morning, it was like close to 5 o'clock. But you know, I'm doing my research. And there's no way I know everything about the topic. I did a literature search, and I said, Roy, you're going to have to hone it in on what's most important. And that's what I'm trying to do. But in order to form a biofilm, well, guess what these infections need? They need minerals. And they love to sequester or steal your calcium, your magnesium, or your iron. They will suck it up. But that's what they need to build this house. But they have to steal it from you. I don't know if you've ever heard of somebody being anemic out of the blue and they don't know why. Well, maybe you can start to think that maybe something's stealing or eating their iron. And that could be like a biofilm. So within this biofilm, you can have actually one or two, three types, maybe four of bacteria, even fungus. And what they do is they form this little community and they share all the nutrients and they secrete their own DNA and they undergo changes in order to evade the immune system. What they're doing is they're trying to find a place to live in your body. The problem is they give off all their waste. They secrete it right into your body. Now, I'm not trying to be gross here, but you're not going to take a bath in a septic tank today, are you? No. You'd probably die from just toxic exposure. Well, you may not die, but it'd be pretty messy, wouldn't it? You'd probably get sick. You would not drink a glass of water from the septic tank. But if the water was coming from a deep spring-fed well that's 700 feet deep, you'd say, oh my goodness, this is most delicious of all time. So when these bacteria in your body, they form these biofilms, they do it for one reason. That's because they want to live. And so since a biofilm requires much less oxygen and fewer nutrients, this biofilm becomes actually very hostile at evading antibiotics. And just play with me on this one for a second. If you're sick and the doctor says, hey, I've just looked at your lab work, and they'll do a simple test called a CBC with a differential and like a urinalysis. And what if your CBC, that means cell blood count or complete blood count, what if your white blood cell count's elevated? What if your neutrophils are above 67 or 68 and your lymphocytes are around 19 or 20? Well, that's a pretty good indication that you've got a bacterial issue. I said chronic. Maybe it's acute. Well, if that's the case, that's a pretty good indication that you've got a bacterial infection. So what is the remedy of choice? Well, usually it's going to be a prescription drug called an antibiotic. That could be everything from Augmentin to Cipro to Bactrim. It could be a sulfa drug. It could be a penicillin-based drug. There's just any number of different antibacterials you could take. You ever heard of tetracycline or doxycycline? Yeah, exactly. Well, the problem is this biofilm that this bacterial colony forms in your body as it's sticking to an organ or a tissue, it keeps the immune system from actually detecting where the infection's coming from. And the antibiotics, they can't penetrate that slimy coating. Does that start to make sense? And so basically, I think I told you like a few weeks ago from the study from the Mayo Clinic, I actually like reading the Mayo Clinic newsletter from time to time. And they were saying that all these women that have chronic urinary tract infections, they say the problem is you can defeat the infection in the bladder with an antibiotic, but you don't get to the biofilm where it's really living and hiding out and hanging out from you. And so if you don't get rid of the biofilm, guess what you have? 3 months later, you're back at the doctor's office again, thinking to yourself, why do I have another urinary tract infection? And so the current medical model, the way that I see it anyway, it assumes that acute infections, they're caused by these isolated bacteria. Well, that's just not actually true at all. According to the National Institutes of Health, more than 80% of human bacterial infections, they are associated with bacterial biofilm. That's the latest research that comes from the NIH. Okay, so you get it? 80% of all human bacterial infections are associated with a bacterial biofilm. And so, if you're going to treat an illness associated with a biofilm, well, using antibiotics, that's going to be an uphill battle. And so, could you imagine, for example, somebody has like irritable bowel disease, or they have IBS, something like that. They give them antibiotics, and initially they seem to work. You know, they may beat down some of the bacterial stragglers, but it's only followed by what's called a rebound. This bacteria kind of springs back to life. It comes out of hiding, and all your symptoms begin to flare up again. And guess what happens? You got another round of antibiotics, when really the bacteria are using this slimy housing unit called the biofilm to escape the antibiotics. And so, could you imagine if there was a person that suffered from just horrible diverticulitis or diverticulosis, and they have this bulging pocket where bacteria can grow in the form of a biofilm. And the truth is, it's hard to get to. If you're only using antibiotics to treat the problem, it's going to be really, really tough to cure. So ever so often, you'll hear a story about and who knows, you might be at church on Sunday morning or Wednesday night, and when they give announcements, they might say, pray for Brother Smith because he's got another bout of diverticulitis. He's had a rough go of it. This is like a really serious bowel or large intestine infection. And they talk about the strong, ultra-powerful antibiotics to take care of it. Well, all I want to do is I want to remind you of the National Institutes of Health, according to them, this ain't me talking, 80% of all human bacterial infections, they're always associated with biofilms. Now, I want you to switch gears just for a second and go from the colon to the nose and the sinuses. I think you've heard me say before that I read a study from the Sloan Kettering Clinic, and they suggested they know now why people have chronic sinus problems that never go away. And literally, you can take one round of antibiotics after the other, and you know what? Initially, they may prove to be effective, but the problem keeps coming back, because when you take an antibiotic, all the bacteria or all the fungus, they go into their biofilms and they hide because they want to live. They don't want to die. They wait till the antibiotics are gone. The coast is clear. Guess what they do? They come out of their sleep or their state of suspended animation, and they come back to life again. They start wreaking havoc. And so, get this right here. I'm just looking at the research. Biofilms are almost always associated with endoscopic procedures. Well, what would that look like? When they put a tube or device somewhere in your body in an opening, or they create an opening. So they got vascular grafts, that would be stents, medical implants, dental prosthetics, severe dermal wounds. It says biofilms are also found along the epithelial lining of the nasal passageways in the GI tract. They're less understood. And so that's actually what I'm trying to tell you. If you're suffering from chronic nasal problems and you can't ever get relief, and every time you turn around, your sinuses are flared up, or you say, I have another sinus infection, well, you've got to think in terms of, it may be that you have a biofilm. It's at the root cause of it. And so, this really is going to be a problem when you have an individual that just has all this excessive inflammation. What would you think if a doctor examined you and everywhere they touched, whether it was your large intestine, your small intestine, your pancreas, your gallbladder, your liver, your kidneys, your spleen, what if all that's inflamed? And you tell the doctor, hey, doc, that hurts. And the doctor says, well, obviously you're swimming in a sea of inflammation. Well, when you have inflammation, it makes it so easy, because of all the irritation, for biofilms to form. And so when you're horribly inflamed and you got all these problems, This really creates the easiest circumstances or opportunity for bacteria to attach to the surface, and they begin their biofilm construction. So these are very, very, very difficult to diagnose, and I'll give you some of the reasons why. If a doctor says, you know what, you've got these chronic ear infections, we're going to do a swab of your ear and see if we can determine what's growing inside there. Well, when you look at the research on this, these biofilms are so tucked away in this matrix, this gelatinous, gunky, slimy matrix, it's really hard to get to. And even if you put them in a petri dish with nutrient agar, they don't seem to grow really well. Even if you take a stool specimen, they usually don't show the biofilms either. And even if you went to a GI doctor with like a chronic colon issue with one infection after the other, it's really hard for the GI doctor to obtain a biofilm sample. And so I don't know of any procedure they have where they can really, you know, determine the nature of the biofilm. They're just not easy to culture. And so the other issue is this. There's some experts out there that think it's pretty challenging in the human body to figure out which is the good guy and which is the bad guy. I mean, there's ways of doing it, but the bottom line is if you feel really, really good and you're strong and you have great bowel movements and you've been taking probiotics and you eat real food, you're not loading up with sugar and junk food, chances are you have a pretty good, healthy bacterial flora. You know, this is just kind of what I thought of. If you've ever gone hiking, like on a mountain trail somewhere, and you have to cross a stream, well, you know that green, slimy moss that covers the rock? That's kind of like a biofilm. Or, well, that's just my example I thought of. Now, let me share this with you right here. The medical community is increasingly dealing with antibiotic-resistant infections. You know that. And they think now all these people that don't seem to respond that well to antibiotics may be what the real issue is. It's a biofilm. Here's one piece of research right here. Up to one-third of patients with strep throat. It's often caused by a type of a bacteria called pyogenes. They don't respond to antibiotics. So you hear what I'm saying? If you have strep throat and they give you antibiotics and it doesn't seem to respond, well, most likely this pyogenes has caused a biofilm. In one study, and this is, do you know what the word all means? A-L-L. That means all of it. In one study, all 99 strep throat-causing bacterial isolates formed biofilms. That's 100%. That's why if somebody has had a history of strep throat and they form biofilms, which is what it says it does really well, guess what that can lead to down the road when you're a little bit older? Well, it can lead to a condition called Tourette's. And Tourette's could be everything from having vocal glitches and physical tics and some unusual behavior. And it can make it really hard, depending on the severity, for a person to function. Well, guess what happens? They've proven that the type of bacteria called Streptococcus or Streptococcus pyogenes, it releases these toxins that what happens is it goes into your bloodstream, crosses the blood-brain barrier, goes to the vocal or speech portions of the brain, and so you got this sweet, innocent child all of a sudden is spewing forth toxic words and you're wondering where it's coming from. Well, that's because of the biofilms. And so unless you take care of those and do what it takes, you're not going to get well. Now, here's another little tidbit of research I came across. Have you ever heard of Lyme disease? I promise you, you don't want it. It's horrible. They're saying 20% of all people infected with Lyme disease caused by an organism called Burgdorferi, they have all these prolonged symptoms. And they're saying now it's possibly due to antibiotic resistance or the presence of biofilms. Now, this one right here, I didn't know this right here. There's an autoimmune disease called lupus, and a lupus is where your own immune system starts to attack the connective tissues. And if I'm not mistaken, it's been a while since I studied the topic, but I think there's 8 very distinct forms. So in some people, lupus is just rough on the heart. That's what it goes after, in one form. And so in those people, they have literally 50 times the death rate from a heart attack, because just the heart can only take so much before it gives out. But they think now, one of the things that causes the immune system to turn against itself is the presence of biofilms when it comes to lupus. Does that tell you that maybe at the core of what you should consider if you have an autoimmune disease, is we might have to do some deep cleaning of these biofilms and infections from your body? Here's the other one right here. I kind of broached this topic a while ago. There's a condition called CRS in medicine. That stands for chronic rhinosinusitis. Do you know somebody that's just constantly sniffling? They're clogged up. They can't breathe through their nose. Okay. Well, they're showing now that topical antibacterial or antifungal agents you just rub in your nose, they've shown no benefit over placebo in random controlled trials. And so they're asking the question, well, why don't these things work? And so they think they've discovered the reason why. And here's the answer. Bacterial and fungal biofilms are consistently found in these patients' nasal pathways. And you know the point that I'm getting to is we're trying to find out what is a solution that's very, very safe and effective. Oh, yeah, I was reading in a textbook this morning about treating Lyme disease. Who wants to take strong antibiotics and other drugs and antifungals year after year after year? Well, you probably don't. And so what if we can find a way to fix this? They've also shown, when I did a literature search, they think now Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, these are really due to chronic biofilms that don't go away. They also, get this right here, and I'll just kind of make it fast. I know we're limited on time this morning. If you have a child that has chronic ear infections, well, that's due to biofilms. They're also linking now chronic fatigue syndrome. Okay? That's a big one right there. What do you do if you just don't have the energy to get out of bed or get off? If you can make it to the couch, you don't want to get off the couch, and you just don't have that energy that you need to get up and go and do things and to be productive. I actually think that's like one of the greatest goals of all time. You've got to have energy to do everything that needs to be done. Actually, how do you heal the body without energy? Energy is the basic requirement of every system in the body. Every single cell, it needs energy in order to work and to do its job. Have you ever heard of another autoimmune disease called multiple sclerosis? Oh my goodness. The amount of research they have on just that one topic right there, it's overwhelmingly pointing toward you got some toxic germs living inside of you, and most likely they have formed biofilms. And unless you get rid of those biofilms, then your symptoms of multiple sclerosis don't go away. Well, what if you say, I don't like that plan? I don't want to clean the lining of my gut and remove the infections. I want to rely on corticosteroids and antibiotics and other drugs. Well, most likely you won't be getting well. I'm not saying it to be negative. I'm just saying if you don't address the root cause of the problem. Here's another one right here that we need to think about. And this one's a big one, too. Do you know of anybody that has acid reflux, heartburn, a GERD, you know, gastroesophageal reflux disease? Well, now they're saying they think it's because of chronic biofilms right there. And you know what? I'm going to say it a different way. You got some biofilms full of toxic infections, whether they're bacterial or fungal or something else, maybe viral. Well, guess what? It's going TT and poo-poo inside of your body. That's right. It's releasing its foul, toxic, slimy, septic waste directly into your body. No wonder you have reflux. No wonder you have chronic sinus problems. So you got to address this. Now, this one right here, I read there's a doctor by the name of Petta Cohen. And I was going to look this up, but I didn't have a chance to look up everything about her. And so Dr. Cohen, she's actually one of the greatest pioneers in the treating autism. And you know what she does? She's looking for anything and everything that helps these kids and adults function at a much better level. And it just happens she's found that nutrition works like a champ. Well, now she's saying that there's a huge correlation between the presence of biofilms and autism, especially when it comes to the severity. Okay, so what she's been shown to do is when she disrupts the biofilm in these patients, she sees a huge offload of heavy metals in the urine and the stool. And let me kind of explain that to you. And I'm going to give you some examples. There is a substance found in nature called garlic. Garlic has been shown to be very effective at helping to dissolve, to break down, to rid the body, to scrub the body clean of these biofilms. I won't go into that in huge detail because I got a lot of more information I want to cover, but she notices that when she does these things, she gets huge amounts of mercury and lead and aluminum and other heavy metals. They just come pouring out of the kids from their urine. So the moment she tries to start killing these low-grade infections that just never go away and scrub the biofilms from the body, these kids with autism, they're dumping mercury and heavy metals like crazy. So if you know of someone that has autism or Asperger's, wouldn't this be one of the things that you might want to prayerfully and thoughtfully pursue or consider? Okay, how do you treat biofilms? Well, one of them is just giving antibiotic after antibiotic after antibiotic after antibiotic. Does it work? Nope. What if you say, this person's got chronic sinus infections. They have chronic rhinosinusitis, that medical term. They're constantly congested, they're inflamed, they got green stuff and yellow stuff coming out of their nose. Everything's crusty and gunky in there. Let's treat them with corticosteroids. You can do that. And then as soon as they start to feel bad again, guess what you do? You give them some more steroids. And then when they go through the cycle again, guess what you do again? You give them more steroids this time. And then when it comes back after they're supposedly symptom-free again, and they don't know why it's coming back, guess what you do then? You increase the dose of steroids. The thing of it is, if it's a biofilm that's secreting all this waste, if it's a low-grade infection, how's the steroids going to fix that? You're not really curing anything. And so instead, what we want to focus on, just like Dr. Cohen treating these kids that had horrible autism, once she started breaking down the biofilms and attacking the pathogenic bacteria within it at the root cause and mopping up all the toxic waste and soaking them up and everything, that's when you start really seeing a difference or a change. Now, I have this book right here, and they're talking about the use of proteolytic enzymes. And I thought, well, I want to give everybody that's listening some really useful information here. So one of the ways that you start breaking down and cleaning the body of its biofilms, let me just read to you what it says. And I know. Okay, it says protease activities, and these are things that help dissolve and break down biofilms, okay? Protease activities are high in ginger. Have you ever heard of somebody talking about adding ginger to your food or juicing ginger or taking ginger capsules? You know, this just kind of popped in my head right now. They've done studies with people that have horrible rheumatoid arthritis, and when they give them a decent amount of ginger, their symptoms begin to abate and lessen and go away, and they go, okay, life's worth living now that I'm on ginger. Well, I wonder if the exact mode on those people that are suffering from horrible arthritis, I wonder if it's the ginger breaking up the biofilms. And so foods can be useful as a source of gentle proteolytic enzymes, high in ginger, pineapple, pawpaw. We had those in Oklahoma. Kiwi fruit. Now, it also says when it comes to other ones that grow on a tree, persimmons, apricots, and peaches have a high activity at an alkaline pH, making them suitable for further down the digestive tract. Well, I thought, I could probably talk some people into eating peaches and apricots and persimmons. I'm not very successful at talking people into eating spicy foods or liver and onions. Anyway, the most active vegetables in terms of proteolytic activity, and the reason I'm bringing this up is, this is what you need to consider. If you have a chronic health problem, let's increase the intake of vegetables that have more proteolytic activity to break down the biofilms so you can get well. Because if you break down the biofilms and get rid of them, your body's clean. You're not dealing with chronic infections. The bacteria is not dumping all its waste in your body nonstop. So you get to actually feel good. You like that one? Well, here they are. You're probably saying, well, what are they? Get to it. All right, here you go. Garlic, onions, capsicum. You could probably just insert the word cayenne pepper. Asparagus and kale. And it also says leeks. Let me read them to you one more time. So consider today that maybe what you need to eat are garlic, onions, capsicum, which is cayenne pepper, asparagus, and kale. There you go. Good job, right? All right, where'd I leave off? Oh, this is one I came across right here. I think I looked this one up on PubMed. Well, it's just where you, if you typed in biofilms and then treatment natural, it came up with N-acetylcysteine. Now, it's true, I did not read the full article, I just read the abstract. It says a mucolytic enzyme, N-acetylcysteine, is a precursor of glutathione, is an antioxidant. But it says it's effective against biofilms on prosthetic devices. It works on chronic respiratory infections. Do you think that maybe is a good idea here? So what if you suffer from chronic respiratory infections? You got infections of your lungs, your bronchial trees all jacked up. Well, you might want to consider taking a little bit of the nutritional supplement called N-acetylcysteine. Now, the article was alluding, I didn't read all of it, but this is what I think it was trying to say. There's something about that molecule, which is heavy, heavy based in sulfur, which, it's no surprise, garlic and onions and kale and asparagus, and that's all sulfur right there. But it's able to help dissolve the biofilm. You ever heard of N-acetylcysteine? So that's what I'm saying. N-acetylcysteine is a very powerful molecule that it might actually be really helpful at restoring a person's health and getting rid of these biofilms. Now, here's another one right here. This one's easy to come by also. It's called lauricetin. Its other forms are called monolaurin or lauric acid. I think there's a form called glycerol monolaurate. Well, guess where that comes from? It's just a natural surfactant that's found in coconut oil. And guess what it does? It inhibits the development of biofilms. If you don't have biofilms and you don't have these chronic infections dumping their waste in your bloodstream, making you sick all the time. So it's really one of the more gentle ones. I mean, most people don't call me on the phone and say, hey, I tried a tablespoon of coconut oil in my tea yesterday, now I'm sick. No, it's usually really, really gentle. Now, I think I came across some, but I need to, like, bear it out. So I'm okay with the idea of using what's called colloidal silver. Have you ever heard of colloidal silver? It's really a very old remedy, but I remember one study that I read years ago. They had all these staph infections and streptococcal infections that they couldn't treat them anymore with antibiotics. And this is in a laboratory setting. And so what they did was they said, what do we do here? And so somebody came up with the idea that if they gave just a little bit of colloidal silver with the antibiotic, well, guess what happened now? All of a sudden, the antibiotic worked. So just kind of tuck that in the back of your mind. Now, there was one study when I was looking up colloidal silver, and it was saying when they tried the model of really bad sinusitis or sinus infections in sheep, this wasn't a human, it was in a sheep, so take it with a grain of salt. But colloidal silver was very effective with that one. Now, this is the part that I'm really wanting to get to right now. So, could you imagine what, I know that garlic and onions, they're so strong, and they give off an odor. But you know what? It's time to get well. If there was a time in history that maybe you want to resolve your health problems, it might be right now. What would you do if there was, and you know, the thing of it is, you and I, we don't have any way of knowing what's going to happen even tomorrow. Actually, I don't even know what's going to happen this afternoon. We're completely and totally in the hands and the care of the loving God, the creator of the universe. And that's true. Tomorrow's in God's hands. So is today. But what if there's some major event that happens in the world and it's catastrophic? Well, you might want to be in the best form of health that you can be. And so when I was looking at this, I'm just telling you some of the things that I really, really think of right here. Have you ever heard of golden seal before as an herb? Yeah, golden seal, in some people, it works like a champ at helping to dissolve the biofilms. Another one that's like a big-time player is oregano. You ever heard of oil of oregano or using oregano in cooking? Oh, this stuff can be incredible sometimes when you're trying to penetrate and dissolve those biofilms where all the infections live and survive and keep reproducing themselves. Oil of oregano is one of those things that can dissolve it. It's like anything else, though. You got to be really careful with it. I've seen people put oregano on their face and burn a hole through their cheek. Don't do that. Black walnut hulls, there's some research on that. Have you ever heard of Artemisia? Or Artemisinin, which I think that's the plant called sweet wormwood. It's actually very effective at helping to break down biofilms. And then there's berberines. Some people have used echinacea before. I'll tell you quickly, the one plant that's probably becoming one of my personal favorites that I really enjoy using is just myrrh resins. I asked, I still think this was funny though, she caught me off guard. I said, do you remember what, the three wise men brought baby Jesus as a gift? And she goes, yeah, it was gold and frankincense and olive oil. Well, I think it was really myrrh. Anyway, that was just so cute. So anyway, these are things that I want you to think about right here. And so, if you will, this information obviously is to try to help you. But I want you to pursue the idea that if you're sick and you can't get well, why don't you just type in biofilms and see what you come up on your computer search. This program is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. If you want to join me on the phone, there's a phone line officially open. It's 903-586-5257. And I did not cover the topic perfectly, but I gave you a starting point. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Quick question, Dr. Morgan.
Yes, sir.
On the garlic, is there an amount that you should limit yourself to on cloves?
Well, don't take this as a joke, but if you took pickled garlic from like a restaurant and you decided you were going to eat 20 cloves of it, well, you're going to be having a trip to the bathroom over and over again.
Right.
And so I think that somewhere between 1 and 3 is usually pretty safe. And okay. The other idea that I want you to just consider is when it comes to garlic, I think if you could just be consistent over time, that's really what you want. There is a problem called a Jarisch-Herxheimer reaction or die-off. I don't know if you've heard that term before.
No.
Well, what it means is if you try to use too much to kill too much infection, you could dump a whole lot of waste in your body and you could just feel downright horrible. That's pretty common when it comes to treating things like Candida albicans, you know, like a fungal infection.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just want to be kind of slow and steady just to see how they tolerate it first. So just introducing some garlic, even a clove a day, that might actually be like a home run for a lot of people.
Well, I was started out with a clove, 2 or 3 in a drink, And I thought, well, you know, if two or three is good, well, five would be great.
you sound like you're from Texas.
Yes. And I started having a reaction. I mean, I was itching on my chest. My arms became inflamed, and I thought, you know, I didn't know exactly what it was, and I was doing some research just recently, and well, garlic hurts you, and I read where too much garlic you could have itching on your chest, inflamed arms, or, you know.
Oh, man.
And so I quit, and it cleared up. Now, this has been in the last week or
yeah,
so.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm just wondering, and now I'm afraid to take any garlic.
Well, in the first place, I am so thankful that you're sharing your story on the radio. This is really a good story. Now, the reason I said die off a while ago, if you take too much of a substance, as in five cloves of garlic, it may kill and remove so much toxic debris that it just overwhelms all the body systems, like your liver and your kidneys.
Right. And so, liver was one of the things that it could... the liver. And I thought, oh my gosh.
Well, and the thing of it is, here's what I want to say. I don't want to blame garlic on it. I just think that you kind of exceeded what your body could handle. So garlic, yeah, in and of itself is good, but if you just, when you go back to it, and I realize you might be a little bit scared. See, the thing of it is, there's going to be any number of people that are listening to this conversation. They're going to say, see there, he's allergic to garlic. I don't know if that's the case. I think you probably took so much garlic, it killed off so many toxic germs, it just overwhelmed your immune system.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that's right. I don't, I tend to be excessive on things when I do it, in a way.
Well, can you name one thing that being excessive is good? Like reading your Bible?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But anyway, I thought I might introduce, I started out a months ago, a year ago, with the garlic and honey. And
I think that's so good.
I'm too lazy to, you know, go through the process of getting the garlic and the honey and letting it ferment. Or
yeah, it's really hard. All you got to do is just dump them into a jar and cover with honey.
So anyway, and the ginger, I did that.
I'm telling you, if it weren't for ginger, there would be a lot of people right now that would never know what it's like to feel good. It's like the greatest drainage remedy of all time. So if somebody has literally any type of infection, whether it's viral, bacterial, or fungal, ginger has this amazing ability to kind of sweep all that toxic waste out.
Okay, let's say in a drink per day, a clove of garlic or two, maybe, and ginger. Mm-hmm. Is that a pretty good mix in an apple and, you know, a drink?
I have a juicer that's called a, I just lost it. But it's a slow turning screw.
Right.
It's a mechanical one. What's it called again?
I know exactly what.
But anyway, you just put the ginger in there, and what it does, it just kind of gently, without using a lot of heat, it's mainly pressure. You just extract the juice from it, and that stuff is potent. That will clean you out.
Right. How much ginger is?
Well, that? It's always to tolerance because, again, I'm not trying to be funny here, but if you say, you know what, I think I'm gonna get five big ginger roots from the store and juice them all and drink them straight, well, you'll probably meet me in my office on Monday morning and beat me with a baseball bat saying I sabotaged you. But you got to just be willing to use like a 1 to 2 inch chunk of it. Cut a piece of the ginger off. And if you can run that through it's called a masticating juicer.
Yeah.
But when you just kind of put it in that.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And I opted not to buy one of those. And I got one that... it's a little bit different, but...
Well, as long as it functions to give you what you want, so...
Yeah, yeah, and But the ginger was such a hassle to scrape all of the, you know, the outer skin off.
Oh, no. I just leave it on there. That's why I use them. Yeah, I never do that. Even if it has, like, fresh dirt from a field in Idaho, I say, it must be good for me. I'll try it.
Okay. Well, I might try that. Okay. Well, listen, I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate your phone call. Let me know how it works out, please.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. One of the topics that I just didn't cover this morning, the phone line is the number to the radio station right now, this program, Health Essentials, is 903-586-5257. I thought I would just talk about how toxic these things were, but I said that's just going to be too much, but I'll cover that momentarily. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes. Hello. How are you?
I am so good. How are you, ma'am?
I'm pretty good. I was calling. My mom is 84, and we all had the COVID the first week of January. And she has this cough. She can't get rid of it. It's making her sick. She coughs. I was wondering, what could we do? Is there anything naturally? She's tried all kinds of stuff.
Oh, well, bless her heart.
She can't sleep at night, and it's getting pretty bad. But,
okay. Well, you know, like that guy that was just on the phone, we were talking about ginger, and so I'm going to give you a different idea. You're probably not going to hear this anywhere else, but that's fine. That's what I like to do. What if we started changing the dynamics of your mama's lungs? Mm-hmm. And so what if your mother would take just a little bit of garlic?
Mm-hmm.
Onions are so hard to beat.
Yeah.
Does she like onions?
Oh, yes, and garlic.
Okay, now, when the gentleman brought up the topic of ginger, I kind of quickly spouted out and said, ginger's my favorite drainage remedy. But just because I say it's my favorite drainage remedy doesn't mean anybody knows what that means besides me. I can't expect you to know what I know, but when somebody has a continual infection, like in the lungs, it just won't go away, and that'd be a reason to cough right there. Yeah. Most likely, your mother is exactly my topic of today. She's got biofilms in her lungs.
Mm-hmm.
So ginger is like the balm for cleaning that stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
So how many rounds of antibiotics have the doctors given your mama?
Oh, a couple of them.
Okay.
She does not go to the doctor. She only went because she's coughed so much she couldn't sleep at night and been throwing up. Now, if she eats, she starts coughing. If she talks, she starts coughing.
Oh, bless her heart. Well,
so it's like, we got to do something.
Well, I'm gonna go back to what I talked about this morning. Number one, there is an amino acid called N-acetylcysteine. Sometimes it's called NAC for short, NAC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that is specific to helping to strengthen and heal the lungs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, personally, if she was my mother, I would give her like a natural source of vitamin A.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so vitamin A is called the anti-infection vitamin. But any time that your linings of the lungs have been upset this long, we might want to consider getting a little bit of whole food vitamin A. Now, the food that has the highest amount would be liver from a cow.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
Well, that's what I was supposed to do today is go over there and fix liver for her.
You know, how far does she live from you?
About 2 miles.
Well, you could walk to her house.
Oh, yeah.
So you could make her a meal of liver and onions. Now, this is the tonic that I like for the situation. So just kind of hear me out. I'm going to give you two or three, but I want your mama to get well. So if you had access to a juicer, I'd probably take two carrots and just run them through the juicer, and it's going to be like a bright, brilliant orange color. Mm-hmm. And then I would take a lemon, just cut the outer part of the rind on and leave as much of that white pith or what else is it called? Anyway, but you just leave as much of that white as you can. If you'll run that through the juicer and put just a chunk of fresh ginger root, you know what I'm talking about. You go to the produce section.
I have everything but ginger, fresh
well,
ginger.
Well, at least it's easy to come by. But if you would start giving her two shots of that a day, that is one of the best immune tonics of all time. The other one that I want her to consider, and you can do this any way that you want, but if you get some unsweetened cranberry juice, and you would take and add some of that to just some lemon, if she were to sip on that, and you've heard of women having UTIs before where they said, yeah. Oh my goodness, I'm going to get me some cranberries and see what happens. Mm-hmm. But cranberry is so good at dissolving those gunky infections that build up in the body. I don't want to overlook that. But ginger, that stuff is amazing. But if we gave her about 2,000 milligrams a day of what's called N-acetylcysteine, I'm just telling you what I would do if it were me, and I would take two carrots and one lemon peeled with a chunk of ginger, run it through the juicer twice a day. And then when you make liver and onions, you got to serve it with a smile on your face.
Oh, we love it. Me and her, the only one, I have six, there's six of us girls. Nobody will eat it but me and my mom. So everybody
Well,
runs.
Guess what? Y'all get to have a tea party with liver and onions today.
Yeah, I was thinking of that last night. I got to go fix her lemon.
You know what? If somebody asked me, what's the difference between going to a restaurant and getting liver and onions or you cooking liver and onions? Well, I'd say yours is served with a smile on the face. And so that would be a start right there. The other thing that may prove to be very, very valuable is an herb called golden seal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to give you full disclosure. Mm-hmm. Golden seal is pretty strong. I mean, it's really effective. Mm-hmm. But in some people, it can cause the blood pressure to momentarily go up.
Okay.
So I'm not trying to make your mother's blood pressure go up. But if she could do that, and the other thing that I think is really going to be essential for your mother, we've got to start steam cleaning her lungs.
Yeah.
And so you just take like one of those stainless steel tea kettles that cost $10 at the store, and you fill it half full with water and maybe add a half of a cup of just regular apple cider vinegar. Mm-hmm. You can add the vinegar with the mother. I'm just trying to be funny when I say that. Everybody says, do you mean should I take the vinegar with the mother? I'm going, oh, yeah, absolutely. And then if you took a spoonful of an herb called thyme or thyme, if she would just stand maybe a foot and a half away with a towel over her head and just breathe that steam in, if she can breathe it deeply into her lungs, that's going to start dissolving all that gunky gunk in her lungs. Okay. And so have you ever had like a bad infection and you blew your nose and finally this big chunk of green stuff came out?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a biofilm. And, you know, don't you feel pleased that it came out of you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what we want your mama to do. We want her to cough up this big chunk of green stuff. That way it can be done.
Yeah. Also with all this stuff we're taking, she has breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And she has this hole in her chest about the size of a 50-cent piece.
Well, and that's from radiation.
No, she's never had
nothing. Oh, she didn't?
Done.
Okay, well.
She didn't have nothing. She was there automatically. She was injured years ago, got hit in the chest, went to the doctor. They said, everything's fine, you'll be fine. Well, this place never healed. So now it's cancer.
Is the place that we're talking about, is this actually a cancerous growth you're talking about?
No, well, they said she had breast cancer. They did do a test on that. She finally went. She does not go to the doctors unless she just has to. She refused surgery because they said they couldn't guarantee her that they might have to take her whole arm off and everything.
I know. They're being honest.
Yeah, and so she said, no way. I'd be handicapped.
Okay.
I've got to live my life one day at a time. So never taken nothing but a pill.
Here's the one thing that I want to add to what she's dealing with. The largest gland of the immune system is called the thymus gland. And the simplest way I can say it is it's completely responsible for the health of her breast and her lungs. Mm-hmm. And so if she would consider swallowing thymus extract, that would be a home run. And it's easy to come by. It comes from a cow.
Okay. Where do you get that at?
Well, I try the health food store.
Uh-huh.
I use a product all the time called Thymex, and I couldn't do my job if I didn't have that product.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody has a weak immune system, the two things that I would think of, and this is just me being simplistic, this is not super scientific, but you know what? I like reading all the work from the old doctors from the 1800s, but a lot of the old doctors, they would say stuff like, well, if you can't get a person well, you give them some thymus and you give them some spleen.
Mm-hmm.
And one doctor in particular, I can't remember his name. I want to say it's like Cameron White. Mm-hmm. He was really famous for treating people all over America that had horrible problems. But at the core of his treatment, he gave just about everybody what's called desiccated spleen. That means when they take a cow to the processing facility or the meat packing plant, guess what they do? They take the thymus out and freeze dry it, and the spleen also.
Hmm.
They probably wash it off first. I hope so.
I'm sure they do.
But just think about that. When you're trying to get somebody well that can't get well, you think about thymus and spleen.
Mm-hmm.
This really is not like deep, deep thinking right here.
Mm-hmm.
You're just trying to help a person get stronger. So the thymus gland is the largest gland of the immune system. It runs the show. And the spleen, guess what that is? That's the biggest filter of the immune system. It's supposed to pull out all the waste that's making you sick.
Yep.
So there you go. There's a start right there.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great. Yeah.
You betcha. You have to be sure and tell your mother that I asked about her, and I really wish her the best, and I hope that God looks upon her with great blessing and favor.
That's why. Well, they 5 years ago, they wanted to send her home with hospice when they first. She goes, no way. I can take care of myself, and she's still alive.
You know what? I like her already. What's her first name?
Shirley.
Shirley. You know what? Shirley, she didn't cooperate with the plan to go ahead and die, did she?
No.
Isn't she an amazing woman?
Yes, she is. She wore circles around me until last year.
And you're not lazy either, are you?
No.
Oh, man, what a great story. So basically, you know what they do is when somebody is not long for this earth, they send them to hospice, don't they?
Yeah.
And so she just didn't participate with that plan, and she's still alive.
No. That's why she never went back.
Well, I thank you so much for sharing the story of your mama. But let me know if these things help. But give her that breathing treatment twice a day for 10 minutes.
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. I think we're almost out of time. There might be like 1 minute left for all I know. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. If not, okay, I'll try to make it fast. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. I've got a tingling in my foot. It feels like my sock is bunched up in my shoe.
Okay, yeah. Do you have diabetes?
No, I do have high blood sugar.
Okay, well, that's probably the cause of it. What I would recommend is you need to put a sock on your foot every night drenched in castor oil.
Okay.
And you can see if that's a starting point, but getting your blood sugar under control, that's what's going to reverse all this.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. I appreciate everybody for being patient with me talking about biofilms. Basically, what I was going to read is they have some of the most toxic. One of the ways that you know you have biofilms, if you have chronic headaches, if you're exhausted, if you have all over the body aches, that's probably the big one right there. If you feel like you're achy and sore and inflamed all over your body, in my mind, that's just pointing toward biofilms. Some of the research also shows anytime you have chronic digestive issues, just never go away. And if your mood, I know they have a million drugs that they probably advertise on television to show how glorious it is to take all these mood-altering drugs, but it really is your gut. If your gut is healthy, you can start making generous amounts of serotonin. And that's what I would want for you. I want everybody to be radiant and strong. You know what? Your health is your ticket to serving God and your fellow man. My name is Dr. Roy Morgan. It's been a joy and a pleasure to be with you. Join me next week, Lord willing, for Health Essentials on KBGS FM 90.3.